Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Bree. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
I'm doing okay.
Jacob's not here.
Yay!
We don't know where he is.
I hope he's okay.
Up he's getting computer cooking. Started. Nice. He just messaged me.
Oh, okay.
Great timing. We're keeping this. We're keeping all this.
He's only going to be 15 minutes late.
I did all the adulting. I went to the dentist. I have to have a filling next week.
Yay.
That'll be super fun because I'm allergic to anesthesia. So Basically I don't get any. And I went to the eye doctor today and found out that I still have perfect vision.
Yay.
Also not a fun visit.
Yeah, the dilation was weird and I couldn't see for like 3 hours.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
I think mine's starting to go. It's been a good 40 plus years, but I think my vision's starting to degrade.
Yeah. That's what I was worried about too, but apparently other than a slight astigmatism, which I guess is like a warping of your eyeballs or something, my vision's fine. It was just like, pay attention to eye strain. And I was like, I wear blue blocker glasses. And she was like, that's a great idea. Also, don't forget to look at something far away. So... yeah, there you go.
I didn't know that blue whatever glasses. Yeah, I didn't know those were actually really useful. I thought that was just some made up bullshit.
So someone recommended it to me in the streaming community. I don't even remember who. When I started having some like eye strain a year and a half ago or so, and I got a couple pair, and they're super cute, and they don't have a lot of glare on them, and yeah, I haven't had eye strain like ever since I started using them all the time. So
nice.
See, I thought they were always supposed to just help you sleep or something.
I mean,
later at night or some
shit. It does help with that, but I mean, I sit in front of three screens like constantly, so. I'm getting tons of that, and it helps with eye strain. So, yeah.
Interesting. I have a pair that my mom bought me forever ago. They are not pretty, and I have no idea where the fuck they even are.
Hmm. All right.
Maybe Jacob knows. Time. Jacob, do you know where? Oh, wait, he's not here yet. Still.
Taking a while to load.
Not my glasses. What the
hell? Aki, how was your week?
Pretty good. I ended up playing, obviously, a bunch of review games because I'm a loser. But I also played through all of Callisto Protocol on Steam.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. I beat it. I beat one playthrough of it. Took me like 2 days, 17 or 18-ish hours on hardcore mode, the hardest difficulty in the game. Now I just have to do it again for another achievement. And then I have to do it on a different difficulty for another achievement, and without dying, which is going to be the hard fucking part that I'm not looking forward to.
And fruit flies. I hate summer.
I played almost no video games this week that weren't for review or for stream. I've actually been feeling a little burnt out on video games. So That's been weird.
You'll get used to it.
Yeah. What about you, Jacob? How was your week?
Yeah!
My week's been kind of hectic. My oldest just turned 11.
He had his
birthday on Sunday, and then on Tuesday, I took him and his friends to go see the new Jurassic World movie.
I'm sorry.
It was solidly okay. It was like
solidly okay.
Believe that at all. That's a really big compliment. Okay.
Burnt.
But like, it kind of felt like a greatest hits album of like the Jurassic Park slash World series. Like, you've seen all these scenarios before with different dinosaurs in a slightly different location, but like, it was still entertaining enough, and they still like threw in like one or two new quote unquote things. Like the biggest of it was like the river rapid or, like the river escape from a T-Rex. Like, that was originally planned for like the first movie, but they couldn't do it because of budget reasons. And so it ended up on the Jurassic Park ride that was at Universal Studios. And then they finally got to use it for the movies now. And yeah, it was fine. Like, I'm curious to see where they take the series next. Like, I think we're going to be dealing with a lot of like hybrid dino bullshit kind of thing. But yeah,
I did not like the hybrid thing. I thought that was so fucking stupid.
From which movie are we talking about?
I don't even know which one. The one where the young girl apparently was somehow a dinosaur hybrid thing, which made no fucking sense to me.
No, she wasn't like a dinosaur. Okay, I know what you're talking about. She wasn't like a dinosaur hybrid, but like, they were using the dinosaur DNA stuff on her to like, the thing is that like Fallen Kingdom and Dominion have their heads up their asses way too much. You can blame Colin Trevorrow for that one, but it's kind of like Jurassic Park 3, where it's just like, it's fine. It's an action movie with dinosaurs. Like, okay. But yeah. So, and then, wife and kids are up in Maine for the like rest of the week. So Angus and I have the house to ourselves.
Angus?
My dog.
Oh,
your balls are out right now, aren't they?
Let me check. Nope. Nope. My underwear is securely holding them in place.
Don't believe you.
Would you like a photo?
Fuck no. Yeah, turn the camera on. Let me add it to the Twitch stream.
Oh god, please don't.
No, I will not.
Thank you. It took you entirely too long to say no, I will not, but thank you for still going with that option.
I had to think about it, because this is technically a work computer, and I'm just like, if this was not a work computer, maybe.
So, speaking of birthdays, Bree, someone tells me it's yours tomorrow.
It is. Yay, I'll be older.
Yay. Happy I will birthday. Level up. Even though I'll wish you happy birthday on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
Yay! Yay! Yay!
I have a party Yay! This weekend.
What are you doing?
Ooh.
A bunch of people are coming over and hanging out, and my friend is cooking a turkey and a bunch of food, and my friend is making my favorite kind of cake, which is a carrot cake with cream cheese frosting, maybe some walnuts in it. It should be good. But yeah, just to get together with friends. It's also kind of like a going away party, because I may not see some of these people for a while.
There.
Since moving.
You're moving? What?
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 Yeah, totally moving to Wisconsin. I'm going to be in a different time zone.
What?
I'm going to have to, like, rearrange my schedule to be on the show and, like, remap my brain about times.
Oh, no.
'Cause I'll be in a different time zone. I know.
You'll have to join at 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Injury says Wisconsin. That's lame.
I agree.
You know what's not lame?
Video games?
What?
No, video games could still be plenty lame.
Well, in this case, they aren't, because it's the Game Pass lineup.
Ooh. Oh, please tell me it's something good and we're not losing anything for once.
That's how we segue into the news episode, by the way.
That wasn't a particularly good segue.
It was okay.
Do better.
It worked for me.
Do better, Jacob. Go ahead, right now.
No, I'm not going to do better because... Do better.
I'm loving this segue right here that's happening as we're
Aki,
talking.
Do better.
We already Aki, have. You two are
Do
arguing.
Better, Aki.
But I have. Because I'm arguing. Fuck you.
Do better, Jacob.
I already said no. I don't care enough to.
Do better, Bree.
She already said Always. She was fine with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, don't tell her to do better, because she might.
Yeah, and she's the only one who can do better
out of all of us. She actually, Aww. Like, she has a ceiling beyond our show. The rest of us are stuck down here, and Bree's, like, yeah. slumming it with us.
Yeah.
This feels like a group hug moment.
It's unbelievable!
So, yeah, Game Pass. a lot of games coming to Game Pass. Really good lineup, actually. Today, we got three games. July 17th, we got RoboCop Rogue City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My. Okay.
My Friendly Neighborhood.
I'm excited for that one.
I don't know that one.
And
it's like horror with Muppets.
Ah.
Stealth horror.
That doesn't sound like a horror game. Like, I thought My Friendly Neighborhood was going to be like a city builder or something.
Yeah. No.
Oh, it's that. I think I've watched Lloyd play that game.
Well, it's on Game Pass today. So, and then a surprise announcement. This one wasn't in the lineup, but it just joined today. He Is Coming is on PC Game Preview.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that one.
I don't think I want to know anything about that one.
It's not about Jacob, don't worry.
Aw.
Well, it's still about some dude coming. I'm still not particularly interested.
I think it's like a roguelike style game.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Very retro style visuals. So I haven't seen much on it. It just looks interesting. So RPG roguelike, Thimber says. So. Tomorrow we're getting Back to the Dawn on Game Pass. Not really sure what that is.
I don't know.
I feel like I have to look
I am
that up.
Looking it up. Oh, that's the you actually asked us if we wanted to cover this one. It's about the prison where everybody's an animal
prison.
Person.
RPG. Gotcha. All right. It's cool that's on Game Pass. Nice.
Yeah. Didn't know it was coming to Xbox. I thought it was a Steam game only.
No, that's why I asked you about it.
I guess that's fair.
Next week on the 22nd, we're getting Abiotic Factor, which is also joining PS Plus same day. So
nice.
Very cool there. Nice. The 23rd, Wheel World, day one launch.
All right.
And then the 24th.
Is anybody really looking forward to that one? you can continue.
July 24th, Wu-Tang Fallen Feathers. I mean, Wu-Chang Fallen Feathers. Wu-Chang is for the children. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. And then after that, July 29th, Grounded 2 hits Game Preview.
So excited nice. For that one.
Indeed. And then that's not it, because August 1st, Farming Simulator 25.
That's good for the people who like that.
That's great for Jacob.
Yay. I don't know what game we're talking about.
To Why be don't honest. You listen to us when we talk?
That's a good question.
We're talking about news. You could chime in on the news, Jacob.
I've chimed in some.
What games are joining Game Pass?
RoboCop, Rogue City. That is.
What else?
Halo.
I mean, to be fair, he's not wrong. It will be coming
eventually. Yeah. Not all good news, though. Some games have to leave Game Pass, unfortunately. We're losing three. Gigantic is leaving.
Okay.
Okay.
That's that MOBA that died and then came back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was my first review for us, actually, was when that came out on Steam.
Yeah, that was cool that we interviewed them when they were part of Microsoft before they got shut down. That's fun. We murdered them. Turnip Boy robs a bank is leaving.
That's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. And then this one's a bummer.
But that has come back, like, left and come back before, so.
No, not robs a bank.
Oh.
That's the other one. What the fuck was it?
Commits bank fraud or tax fraud?
Tax evasion or something, yeah. That one's left and come back, I think, twice or something.
I don't know, but one more is leaving. This one's a bummer. Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess from Capcom.
When's that leaving?
End of the month, July 31st. All three games are gone.
Well, we know what Aki's doing for the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Very possibly, yes, because I want to play that. I need to see if that's something I think I can beat in that period of time. Oh, this makes me very sad.
You'll be okay.
No, I won't. I will never be okay.
Kunitsugami, how long to beat, says main story about 16 hours, main and extra 21, completionist 33.
It says 40 to 50 on TA for completion.
I'm just going. Ooh.
Yeah, totally.
Because achievements might not factor into the how long to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
And there is an unlock all the achievements achievement. It's worth 190. Jeez.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Yep, it works.
Okay, thank God. Ah, man. All right, other news. Forza Horizon 5 is reportedly sold 2 million copies in 1 month on PS5.
Nice.
Kind of figured that one would do well.
Yeah.
Good game. There's reports that Square Enix is developing a Dragon Quest VII remake with a planned release of 2026.
Okay.
Fallout 5 has reportedly been, quote, fully greenlit.
Okay.
So more Fallout should be on the way. Of course, along with the rumored 3 remake and New Vegas 2. We could be in for a lot of Fallout in the coming years.
I'm good for that.
Oh, my. I am so excited for more Fallout. I love Fallout.
Indeed. Fallout 3 is a big reason I started getting into first-person games at all, because of that system.
Mm. Fair. That, as far as I'm concerned, that was the best one out of all the Fallouts. I absolutely love Fallout 3.
Yeah. Some sad news. Jackbox has announced that Trivia Murder Party 3 is being pushed into 2026. The game will be expandable with new content instead of, you know, having a new release every couple of months. And it will feature online matchmaking as well.
Nice.
Huh? Cool.
John Wick Hex was delisted today.
Yeah.
Might still be there for a few more hours. If it is, I think they dropped it to $2. Get it while you can. If you can.
Hey, I know they they heavily discounted it.
Yeah, $2.
I'll check it right now.
Yeah, not sure if it's still up there.
It is. Been delisted.
It is gone. Bye-bye, John Wick Hex. Can't buy it anymore. Sorry. False alarm. Get wrecked, nerd. A new in-development Guilty Gear game has been canned, Arc System Works. Presumably to focus on that whole Marvel Tokon thing that they got going on.
Okay.
Meh. Yeah, I can understand that. Metaphor ReFantazio has sold 2 million copies.
Yay.
Fuck yeah.
Very good for that. Final Fantasy 14 ending Windows 10 support October 14th. If you're still on Windows 10 and playing Final Fantasy 14, time to upgrade.
That's unfortunate.
Yep.
I can't upgrade my computer to Windows 11.
Why?
I don't know. It tells me when I do the little check that my computer is not eligible.
Specs was probably not quite good enough to actually manage the OS then, because one of my old computers couldn't go up to Windows 10. So, for that same reason.
Yep, it's a perfectly fine computer, but it won't upgrade to 11 according to the little health and whatever thing.
That's weird.
Yeah, Windows 11 isn't even supposed to exist, which is the upsetting part.
Why isn't it supposed to exist?
Because Microsoft outright stated when they made 10 that that was going to be the last one they ever made, and they would just keep updating it, and no one would have to buy another OS ever again. And then immediately proceeded to put out a new OS, like, not long after.
Bless you.
Sorry, I'm allergic to your bullshit, Aki.
No bullshit, thank you. Anyways, that's one of the many, many reasons why I do not trust fucking Microsoft the fuck at all.
Oh, well.
That's why you don't trust Microsoft?
One of the many reasons, yes.
Okay.
I know when I tried to update from 10 to 11, it was like, there was some like TCP setting, or I don't remember what the fuck it was. I had to go into my BIOS and enable something and override it, and I was able to update then. Yeah, I don't know shit.
I'm not computer literate enough to understand anything you said other than, and you did it and updated.
Oh, I know. That's I don't know what the fuck I said either. Like, I logged in to my website so that I could post the newest episode, and it's like, you need to update your PHP. I'm like, what the fuck is PHP? And how do I update it? I thought there'd be, like, a click button to update. It's like, nope, you gotta, like, go into this setting and do this and contact your I'm not doing any of that shit. Fuck that.
Smart enough for that shit. Fuck that.
It's a security update. Whatever. No one's gonna hack us. No one visits us. I don't think anyone knows you could go to joecam.net.
I occasionally go there. Not very often. It's been a while.
I don't know why!
Oh my god, I love our raid sound now. Welcome in, Trivium Champ and company. We are chatting about the news right now. Just mentioned the Final Fantasy 14 ending support for Windows 10 users later this year. So, Trivium, how was your stream? How did things go over there? Someone give Trivium a shout out in chat if you are able to. Because I'm reading news and I'm lazy. I don't feel like doing it myself. So,
you gonna I got it? This.
Acceptable. Cool.
Thank you, Bree. Good peoples. He was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4. Bree, what do you think of that one?
I'll tell you in a few minutes. Did you know it's on Game Pass?
What?
You're never going to let that go, are you? Fuck y'all. Damn.
This is like the last week I can get away with that joke. Come on.
No, it's going to be on Game Pass for a while.
Yeah, this is true.
Fuck my life.
Virtuos, the studio behind Oblivion Remastered, the upcoming Metal Gear Solid Delta, getting hit with layoffs. Around 300 people or 7% of the studio.
Jesus.
Yeah. One more bit of news on my end. Square Enix has announced a complete Life is Strange collection featuring all 5 games, including the DLC and pre-order bonuses, available for pre-order on the Square Enix store for $59.99, PS5 only.
God damn it.
I saw that.
Yeah. The disc will contain True Colors and Double Exposure. The rest is a DLC code in the box. So $60 for all 5 games, DLC. That's a good buy.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are already a fan, that's kind of not something that you need, but...
Yeah.
I'd get it anyways. If it was on Xbox, I would have gotten it. Fuck you.
Aki, what news do you have?
I got bad news, because that's my life. Now I have to remember his fucking name. I'm bad at this. I do apologize.
Write shit down.
I do, but then I lose shit. The co-creator of the Elder Scrolls games, Julian Lefebvre, has basically quit everything he was doing because he has been battling cancer for the past few years, and it appears he doesn't have much longer left with us. So he's spending what is left of his time with his family. He's stepped away from all of his other obligations. And, that really sucks. Feel sorry for his family. But at least he knows where the important thing is, to step away from work and focus on them.
Co-workers at Once Lost Games, Ed and Victor, they announced what was going on. They announced he doesn't have much time left. They said that in due time, though, they will answer any and all questions about the future and the development of the game. But for now, they want to focus on Julian and letting him enjoy what time he has left. The Wayward Realms should still be okay. They said that Julian did have a vision for the game, pretty much laid out for everyone to follow. So hopefully they make him proud.
Yeah.
Oops. And then I have some good, bad, I don't know news, really just depends. Krafton is being sued. They are being sued by, would you believe it, Charlie Cleveland, one of the replaced heads over at Subnautica. I think it's all three of them suing, but I'm not sure for sure anymore. But I know at least he is.
This
definitely
is a
part
messy
of it,
story.
Yes, it is. It is. Very messy.
Because at first, everyone was against Krafton because of what the three ousted heads stated about things. And then Krafton was like, all right, they want to talk shit. Well, here's what our side of the story. Then people are like,
Krafton drugged them through the fucking mud.
The three heads kind of abandoned the game in the studio, and they kind of seem to deserve it. Like, I don't know where things are standing right now. They're both pretty much blaming the other party. From what I've seen, Krafton seems to be in the right about things, and they did extend the deadline for that bonus payment to the studio.
Oh, I hadn't heard that
part. So the rest of the studio will be covered, and they are getting an extended deadline for that bonus. Yeah. It's not like the $250 million or whatever. It's like $40 million for the rest of the studio, but they should still be eligible for it.
Yeah, so for anyone who isn't following what the fuck we're talking about, the three heads of Subnautica were replaced by the head of the Callisto Protocol. And then it turned out that they were pushing the game back as well from early access. And it turned out from Jason Schreier and Bloomberg that there was a $250 million bonus that the team was going to get if they got it into early access by the end of this year. And they were like, well, you got rid of the three of us and replaced it with them, and now you're pushing everything back. You're trying to get out of paying this, which seemed fair to everybody. But then Krafton was like, well, you know, they were planning on keeping, the three of them were planning on keeping 90% of the money and sharing the last 10% with their team. And then the three of them were like, no, it was 100%. Everyone was going to get an equal share. And now we're suing you, is the situation so far. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be very interesting to see where this ends up. But, I don't know who to root for. I tend to be on the side of not publishers, generally, but Krafton has been a pretty good publisher, so I'm really hoping they are not in the wrong here.
We will see in due time, I guess. Little quick news bit I got, Persona 4 Revival has opened up for wish listing on Steam, PS5, and Xbox. The store page is live. It does not have any kind of release date, but you could wish list it. and it supports 15 languages. Persona 4 Revival.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool.
The good news, it's a play anywhere game on Xbox. So yeah, on Series and PC and Game Pass. So
I love when games do that. Oh, that makes my I enjoy. I've actually started playing lots of games on my PC thanks to that Play Anywhere thing. I'm actually really enjoying that just cuz my PC is ever so slightly superior to my Xbox.
Remember saying bad news for Steam that it has Denuvo. I don't know. I don't have a problem with anti-cheat shit and piracy shit. Just
Denuvo tends to make games run shittier.
No, but they usually take it out after a few months. So
yeah,
hopefully it won't affect performance too much. But we don't even know when the hell it's going to come out. So
most people get mad at Denuvo. Nope, that was it for me. I have nothing else.
All right, Bree, what do you got?
Bad news and bad news.
CD Projekt Red launched a free update on the 17th. That's today.
Oh, yeah, 2.3. 2077.
Yeah, alongside the release of Ultimate Edition on Mac. Update 2.3 announces or introduces Auto Drive, the Delamain Taxi Service, new quests, vehicles, expanded photo mode features, and more.
We hear you, Jacob. You're good.
Yeah. I know it added a few new vehicles and some new quests as well, so that's pretty cool.
And then I have esports news, not something you'll normally hear out of me, but hear me out. It's called Care Esports, and they recently had their Tekken tournament for elderly folks in Japan with competitors aged 60 to 93.
Oh, and shit, 70, that's awesome.
73-year-old Yoshi Murabi won with a panda mane. The players all have fans and web pages, and the tournaments are streamed on YouTube, and it is super cute.
This is the only esports that deserves to exist, as far as I'm concerned. Right.
The Care Esports Association is an elderly esports association. But yeah.
Do you happen to have like a link to whatever this YouTube channel is where they did this? Because I
will send the article and I will just drop it in the Discord.
Awesome. Everyone join the Discord. You can find this. Exactly.
Indeed.
I'll put it under gaming news info here.
All right.
Okay, this actually explains like what my folks were talking about, because the other day I was over at their house for lunch and they were telling me about like some news item they saw about seniors playing, and they said Mortal Kombat.
No, it's Tekken.
But yeah, well, I didn't expect my parents to get it right.
Fair.
I mean, I'm thankful that they even know what Mortal Kombat is. So, yeah, but no, okay, cool. That's really awesome that this is a thing.
Oh, and they even have the matches split up, so it's not just one long video that you have to watch. Every one of the videos is split up. That's nice. They really went all out with this. I like this. This looks good.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to watch this tonight.
My other bit of news is Movie Watch.
Where's the button? Where's the button? It's Movie Watch. There.
All this build up for nothing.
For nothing.
All right. Did you lose your news? No, there's a live action Legend of Zelda coming out May of 2027, and they have cast the leads. It's Bo Bragason as Zelda and Benjamin Evan Ainsworth as Link. They're pretty excited about their casting. They put up some pictures. You might know Bo Bragason from The Jetty, and Benjamin Evan Ainsworth is from The Haunting of Bly Manor. He's 16, so he's a younger actor.
Hmm.
I really hope we get...
Okay.
Excuse me!
That would be good. Just one excuse me, princess.
But yeah, that's all the news I've got. Not old enough
to play Call of Duty, I don't think. Did you see Call of Duty, like, needs you to put your birthday in now?
Oh, geez.
Hmm.
And if you're underage, like, a parental consent pop-up appears.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I had to put my age into Tony Hawk.
Oh, so maybe it's a Activision thing that they're doing now?
Maybe.
Jacob, what news do you have?
Well, I also have movie watch news.
It's movie watch. There.
You! Bitch!
Mortal Kombat 2 now has a trailer. It got released earlier today, and it seems like it's going to be focused on Johnny Cage. He's back with a bunch of folks who were in the first one. I'm curious to see how it turns out. It is releasing in October, and it will be on IMAX, in case you need to see all that
Carl Urban
blood and guts up on the big screen. I wasn't really able to figure out all that much as to like who was in it, because it does a lot of quick cuts in the thing. However, we do get to see a fight between Scorpion and Noob Saibot, which was pretty cool because he actually rips the two of them apart and then cuts one of them in half. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Very good.
That's all I got.
That's all the news you had?
Wait a minute. You said last week that you were going to be home alone and playing Disney Dreamlight Valley, and you were going to have news on the update.
Not yet.
Shock.
It'll have to be for next week, because...
Bitch!
I see we're going to get a lot of play out of that.
Shut your mouth!
Well, anyway. Because of that, I... Thanks to all the movie watch news, I actually remembered another piece of news, TV watch news. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert has been canceled.
Wait, what?
Apparently it's ending next year.
That doesn't mean it's canceled. It means that he's quitting. All right, let's see. What do we got?
CBS to cancel.
Yeah.
Late Show. Yeah. Stephen Colbert. 17 minutes ago.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Hmm.
Wow. New owners are fucked up. That's like the highest rated late night show, isn't it?
Yeah.
No idea.
I'm pretty sure
it is.
Wow.
Yeah, I do not understand why they would do that. That just sounds really fucking stupid, but, you know.
I remember when Stephen Colbert was the on-the-street correspondent on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In, like, 1997.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would do the Stephen versus Stephen things with Carell.
I wonder if to appease Trump.
Probably
to get that merger to go through quickly, because that's been fucking up like a lot of stuff after that whole like Trump suit about 60 Minutes.
Jeez.
Cancellation will take effect May 2026, and it appears to be the end of CBS doing late night at all.
Huh. Yeah.
They're killing their entire late night slate. Including Colbert. They're bitches who can't handle being criticized. Fuck you, CBS. Fuck you, government. Switch 2 version of Sonic and Shadow Generations might possibly be on cart. Same as the Sonic Racing game might be on cart instead of being key cards. Looks like Sega is taking the poor sales that key cards are getting to heart, which they should, because key cards are fucking stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Any other news, or should we dive into to the reviews of the week?
I got no other reviews.
Jacob, anything else?
Nah.
Right. Cool. Review time.
Yay. Yep.
I love that so much. Such a good little
ditty
thing. First game to talk about tonight, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4, developed by Iron Galaxy, published by Activision, provided to us by Activision for the purpose of this coverage. Released July 11th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch 1 and 2, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Get hyped for the legendary franchise to return with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. Everything you loved is back, except most of the soundtrack, but revamped with more skaters, new parks, gnarlier tricks, eardrum-shattering music, except all the old songs, plus a whole lot more. Bree, what is going on in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4?
So, there's a lot going on. This is another game I never played the original on. I played the OG Tony Hawk Pro Skater on my PlayStation for way too many hours back in 1999. I remember playing it before I would go to work. I remember my roommate playing it when I came home. And I'm here for the nostalgia, and those were good times. For the purposes of this review, just imagine me with a pair of JNCOs and a chain wallet and some Doc Marten boots. No.
I think you need to send us a picture.
Who am I kidding? Really? I'd stop skating by the time these games came out. But that was the thing.
For the episode.
I don't think pictures exist. But I know. But I do remember these games being awesome. The original 3 and 4 came out in 2001 and 2002, respectively, on systems like the PlayStation 2. And now I feel old.
Yep.
Thankfully, there is a tutorial because I don't remember what I'm doing after all these years. You have a basic skate park with VHS tapes that have lessons on them. I was so bad at first, I could barely get to some of the tapes, and it was really obviously I needed these lessons. One key thing to note is that once you're in motion, you stay in motion. Use the left stick to move directions, and down on the stick to stop. You've got to hold it to stay stopped. Next, you learn to crouch and jump with an ollie, which is like the basis for most tricks. And then there are like 25 lessons from grinding to flips and wall plants and game mechanics like combos and your special meter, and I weirdly think I remembered how to manual because of Goat Simulator.
That is amazing.
It's the same controls. There are assists for things like perfect rail balance, manual balance, lip balance, and skitch balance. You can change the game speed, get instant recovery, and more. Also, some other settings of note is that there's crossplay. And there's inverts. I tried doing the tutorial without assists, and until you start getting into the balance meter, and then you also have to maintain your left and right balance, and then I was like, let's see what the assists are all about, and then I started just having fun after that. But I made it through the tutorial. I had a blast. You could give up on it if you're better than me at this game, but I needed the tutorial. You can start your career. You can create a park, skate on player design parks, or you can take it to multiplayer. In the main hub, you can change to one of 35 skaters. Some are in the deluxe edition only, including like Doom Guy. You can shop apparel and secrets like unlocking Bam Margera as a pro skater, or Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle.
Yay!
Under career mode, you have Tony Hawk Skater Pro Skater 3 and 4. I've got words. I abbreviate things, and then I'm like, I should have just written that whole thing out. So you have Pro Skater 3 and 4 to start on. You've got speed runs, free skate, and then back to the tutorials if you need them. In career mode, you play through the newly done versions of the original levels, attempting to get through goals for the level, score high enough, and you'll unlock other levels. Goals are things like finding the secret tapes, scoring combos, and high score points. Collecting letters and logos, and then you need to do tricks in certain areas like grinding the molten bucket in Foundry, which is a lot harder than it sounds. There are pro levels you can unlock on each of the levels too by doing specific things, and then they have cool extra goals for you to do, like grinding down the circular ramp rail that you have to get to the top of first. Here's the rub. When you're in these modes, you're timed to achieve these goals, so you have to plan out what you intend to go for. You get 2 minutes to explore the level and try and score or find all the letters that spell skate, etc. There's 8 to 9 parks per game to unlock. If you're worried about exploring the parks, go to Free Skate. You can play the park levels without having to unlock them with the goals. You'll be missing out on the locations of some of the collectibles, but it's a great way to practice for score, finding the gaps in the map with all the time you need. Random note, in the middle of everything, there is trick mapping if you need to change how a trick is done, which I thought was really cool. I mentioned shopping earlier. You earn money performing goals in parks, doing free skates, all sorts of things, so that you can buy things from the shop. You also have challenges you can complete, and there's a lot of challenges, sometimes the same as achievements, and they will unlock cosmetics for you too. Challenges are things like scaring clusters of birds, customizing your badge in multiplayer, skitching more than one vehicle in a single combo, which was surprisingly easier than I expected, and I totally got the achievement. And there are plenty of score challenges with Do X Trick as well.
Quick question. How many minutes do you think your review is? Because there was cops outside. And I got to go see what's going on. And I might be gone a few minutes. So can you
just... You go. I'll keep talking.
Okay.
And
if you hit the end, I'll edit, but...
All right.
I'll be back in a few. I got to see what the hell's going on.
All right. Be safe. So I also checked out the multiplayer. You have some options there, too. There's competitive, hawk mode, and free skate modes. Hawk mode is where you play hide and seek and collect letters before your opponent. The highest score after 3 rounds wins. You can do local multiplayer and private matches for online as well. Talking about graphics, I went back and actually looked at some of the old videos to see how improved things look. And from the realism to the textures on things like concrete and reflections in the water, the lighting, like this all looks new and fresh. And I was pretty happy with that. The soundtrack has some bangers on it, some from the original games and some newer tracks. Okay, a lot of newer tracks. From rock to punk and more. Just a few names I recognized off the top of my head was like Alice in Chains, Motorhead, Run DMC, Iron Maiden, The Dead Milkmen, Sex Pistols, The Cult, and AFI. You can easily skip tracks you don't like, or you've just heard it too many times. You can edit the playlist. And there is a streamer mode as well, if that's something of import to you. It will be for me, because definitely don't want to get in trouble for all the licensed music. The achievement completion is going to be hard. There are lots of expert challenges. There are some easy achievements, like going into the photo mode while playing as Tony Hawk or free skating for 5 minutes. And then there is an achievement for getting a score of 10 million in any park in 2 minutes on a single combo without assist modes on. Like that.
Jesus.
That is, yeah. That's a lot. Couple of nitpicks for me. I noticed a fair amount of stutters and pauses during gameplay, which was a bit disappointing. It always seemed to happen right as I was speeding towards some stairs I needed to jump to grind up a rail or something, which made performing tricks kind of hard. I also felt like there was a lot of lag and load just to get into multiplayer. I had a couple of dashboards, but that could also be because my Xbox is full of cat hair. I felt like money was hard to earn, but I'm also not amazing at the game. I'm still having a blast with the game, though. All the solo tours, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on with this game.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Back. some old guy hit the median in front of our house and knocked down the sign.
Oh. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I just took out the sign, and it happens a lot.
Okay.
How's the game?
like I just said, I'm having a blast with the game. There were some nitpicks, some stutters and pauses, some lag issues with multiplayer. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I will have to listen back to everything you said. But as it stands now, the game is $49.99. There is a deluxe edition as well for $20 more that includes a bunch of other extra content. $50 on the game. What do you think?
So even if you didn't play the original games, I think you can have a great time with this one. It was still filled with nostalgia for me for a time period in the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I looked up some other people's views on the game who had played the original, and they had some less than favorable things to say regarding how faithful a recreation this really was. Apparently, very little of the original music used, and some of the goals were removed, making this feel less meaty to some of them. I thought there was a ton to do.
I think they said, like, out of 50-plus songs, only 10 like were from the original 10 games. 10
or so were from the original, yeah. That's about what I saw, yeah.
Alien Ant.
But I thought there was a ton to do with the challenges and achievements. And if you feel like if you like skateboarding games, you're going to have a good time with this. And if you're on the fence, there's a demo with two parks. Oh, yeah. It's on Game Pass. Did you know?
What?
But yeah, I would say this is a buy it, even with the issues that I was having. Because, again, there's a chance that some of those stutters and things are just my Xbox in particular being stupid. So, but yeah, it's a buy it.
Very good. Any thoughts on the digital deluxe content?
I would say if you're a fan, like, go for the digital deluxe. That's what I got. The extra fun skaters and the extra content was pretty cool to mess around with. So yeah.
Rock on. All right, next up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Splintered Fate. Developed and published by Super Evil Megacore. Released June 24th, Xbox One, Series X and S for $29.99. Grab your friends, pick your favorite turtle, and jump into a roguelike adventure to save Master Splinter from the Foot Clan. Master Ninja skills, unite in bodacious online and local co-op gameplay, and conquer iconic New York City locales. Jacob, what is going on in Ninja Turtle Splintered Fate?
That's a good question, because my kids played on my account, and so I don't know if I'm missing part of the like if I'm missing part of the plot with this game or what. But Master Splinter has been grabbed by, of course, Shredder, and it's up to the four turtles and Casey Jones. So, and these are all
the DLC.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize he was DLC.
Yeah, he was like a launch bonus, but now he's separate.
Okay. So yeah, so you can pick any of the four turtles right away. Casey Jones, if you have DLC, you can pretty much like pick who you want. Each one of them has different like stats depending on their weapons. Like Mikey has like a farther reach. Like Donatello has extra like his specific attacks like work best with tools and stuff like that. It ends up following into this whole thing with portals and other dimensions. And from what I understand, this plays a lot like Hades. I didn't play Hades, so I can't really comment on that.
You should play Hades. But
yeah, I've heard people say that too. But you're essentially repeating the story over and over and over and over again as you go through, even if you've beaten a chapter before, which can get kind of frustrating in my book. But I guess that's why it's a roguelike and not, you know, a light. So you pretty much go through, you beat up, Mousers and foot, soldiers and stuff like that. And eventually you will run into a boss. Like there's one per level. Sometimes it's related to a character from the series. Other times it's just like a giant mutated rat. Who knows? You have to eventually defeat Shredder and recover Splinter. However, there is apparently multiple endings to this game, which will require multiple run-throughs so you can get to the actual true ending of this thing. But the combat is pretty breezy. I didn't quite get like the stuff with the tools, but every single run you're earning currency. Some of it can be spent within this store that you find in between chapters, and that will provide you with some of it seems like it's permanent upgrades. Some of it might just be related to your current run. I'm not too sure which is which, to be honest. And health does not come that frequently. Like, pretty much you're hoping that you can afford something at the store in between levels. Otherwise, like, it's real easy to get screwed. But then again, once you die, you come back to the turtle lair, and with successive deaths, you are able to buy more stuff, because, like, the first couple rounds, like, new shops will open, or areas within, like, the your home base to be able to buy stuff. And then other stuff, it's just you have to, like be going back and completing levels. One thing I will like about this, as I don't know if I want to say confusing, but pretty much every single run with this, as long as, like, you don't mess up, aka my kids, with this game, like, as long as, like, you actually do, like, a decent amount of damage in this game, every single run will be a net positive for you, and you will be able to go back and buy, like, at least one permanent upgrade per time that you make a run back. My kids were not big fans of this game, even though it's rated E10. I think they were expecting more of, like, a standard brawler with, like, a storyline that wasn't going to constantly repeat itself, because they could never make it past the first boss. But I also think that they didn't want to really try to put in the time and effort to figure out how to beat Leatherback. And but yeah, like, I thought it was interesting. I do appreciate that, like, it's completely voice acted. Like, it looks nice. It plays well. It would be nice if there was, like, a tutorial that was available at any given point in time, because even if you just click on new run, which I thought was going to help me with it, that really just applies to whatever your current run is. It's not like getting rid of a game save. So yeah, like, I enjoyed it. Your kids may not, though.
That's fair. It is a $30 game. What do you think?
I could see lots of replayability with this. So, like, if you're a fan of this type of game, you know, keep in mind you're also paying for the license for it. So, I mean, like, what feels like it might be like a $20-$25 game, like, you know, you're getting that licensing bump because it's Ninja Turtles. But I think it's worth it. Like, it's fun.
All right, sounds good. Casey Jones is $7 by himself, or you could get a combo of the game with the DLC for $34. Casey, worth picking up?
By himself, I don't think so, I'd recommend the combo.
Jazzy. Next up, Cats Away, developed by Studio Seizensen, published by Nicalis, released July 9th on Switch, PS5, and PC for $29.99. A nautical adventure featuring beautiful pirates, adorable talking cats, nail-biting sea battles. Cats Away brings real-time strategy to the high seas. Give orders to your ever-expanding cat crew and save the world from the reawakening of an ancient evil. Bree, what is Cats Away? And again, cats, not cast. Cats Away.
So let me start out this way. Joe showed me this game and I was kind of hesitant because while it has all the cats and pirates, it used the words real-time strategy in part of the description of the game. Plus, I had to unpack my Switch to play it because it's not an Xbox. But curiosity got the better of me, like any cat, and I don't regret it. So, couple things to note right up front. The game auto-saves and has inverted controls if you need them. The game language is Japanese voice with English subtitles and menus, anime art style, and it is full of talking anthropomorphic sailor cats. There are several humans on your crew. I guess they're important. That each have a cat backup for their jobs. Your human crew is all female, sisters, in fact.
Humans.
And the cats Yeah, I know. The cats are adorable in their little sailor uniforms. The beginning of the story is the oceans rose up and swallowed most of the land in what became known as the Great Calamity. People avoided the waters because of the undersea creatures that kind of grew, and so everyone stuck mostly to the little bits of dry land. And then one day a powerful entity appeared and shone a magic light that revitalized everything it touched. And all the living creatures evolved, and people once again ventured out into the seas. I guess the cats evolved into like, talking cats. Which I'm all for. And piracy was reborn. But this isn't ye olde high seas. This is some high-tech anime ships with, like, a mixture of steam and green glowing stuff. I don't know what was going on with that, but it's pretty cool. The start of the game has the main human characters get attacked, and then a mysterious one-eyed cat steps in to help. And we get a tutorial battle to start us off, and your cat crew will automatically attack opposing ships. So you just need to get them into the best position to succeed, because they only fire if the enemy is in range and firing angle. Using the left stick, you can move your ship in the direction you choose, if there's space for it to go. And you can always tilt. You always tilt where you want to go on the screen, regardless of the heading of your ship, if that makes sense. And the right stick changes the camera angle. Teak helped me during the tutorial by pressing buttons while I was reading, and I missed out on some of the info, but I was able to figure out kind of what I was doing and had a good time with it. There's two types of attack command styles. Type 2 is the more advanced shortcuts. Using the D-pad, you can do things like volleys, healing, and repairs during combat. You also have different types of weapon sets, like anti-air guns you can equip for different types of enemies. So, like, you'll have regular ships on the ground, and then you'll have, like, little hot air balloons with guns that are attacking you. So you may have to switch your weapon types. You've got three different sets. Switches are pretty fluid once I learned where things were and what kinds of repairs and healing and weapons I needed to use. Moving on, the map is a bit more tactical style. You can move in segments along routes. The routes have points you can travel to, and there are battles along the way. Once you've cleared them, you can move freely around the map. You'll have different quests marked on the map to get you for the story. Back to the story. That bright light that came down and saved the world? Well, it's rumored that the dark light is going to come and wreck everything again. So we've got to travel the world to stop it. Someone hired that mysterious one-eyed cat I mentioned earlier for the promise of like 10 million gold, and we're supposed to pay that somehow. And we've got to get to port and hire a proper guild crew to sink for the ship to take on all the danger. That means more cats. More adorable cats. At the guild, you can also pick up quests to make money and progress the plot. Your crew also gains experience as you go, and your cat crew get XP, and when they do a little upgrade dance, which is super cute. You get to upgrade your ship with a ton of weapons like catapults, Gatling guns, and laser cannons. You eventually can unlock other ships that you can customize with weapons and equipment and pirate flags that you get to design, limited design. There's also detachable watercraft, airships, and submarines that can be operated by your cat crewmates. Your human sisters take turns being the captain of the ship. You can select them in between battles, and they have different commands and styles of fighting to use to your advantage. The music felt like standard anime fare, as well as the graphics. Your box text conversations have cute 2D character models in the anime style, and the battle scenes are 3D arenas. I would say the graphics on the 3D stuff was a little rough in the polygons, but that somehow added to the nostalgia about this game that I just can't place. There's just something familiar and comfortable and fun about this game, and I don't know what it reminded me of, but it reminded me of something, and it was a happy place. Battles are a bit of chaos until you get the hang of combat and switching between weapon types on the D-pad. Losing a battle isn't game over in most cases, which is nice. It just means you can't travel that waterway until you either upgrade your ship or get good. There is an online mode you can unlock, but it allows you to join guilds and do online battles. I would say that there is a little bit of a learning curve to this game, not helped by my actual cat. But it was really fun and delightfully catty. Some of the language used is cat puns, and of course I love that. This isn't a particularly short game. I'd estimate somewhere in the realm of like 30 to 40 hours of story and battles.
Right. Well, it's a $30 game. What are all of your thoughts on Cats Away?
I liked this one, And I'm glad we got it in because I think this is something I would have passed on and not realized how fun it could be. You know, like you look at the genre and other buzzwords and you think, oh, I didn't like the last roguelite or card battler I played, so maybe I just don't like roguelikes or card battlers, but then something like Inscription comes along and you love it. So I think I was a little scared by the tactics and real-time strategy buzzwords in the write-up, and I'm a little over-pirated. I'm also really glad I tried this one because it was fun, and I think the price is right, and you should buy it.
Very good. This one looks really, really cool. So
yeah.
Seems, what's a good word for it?
I don't know. Cat-tastical.
Like, there's a word on the tip of my tongue.
It's called Joseph-Belland.
Unique. Aww. That's the word.
Oh.
Belland. Next game to talk about. Oh, that was for you, Aki. Next game to talk about, The Last Camp, developed by Paradow Environment Limited, published by New Gamer, released July 11th on Series X and S, Xbox, PC, and PS5 for $25.99. This is a top-down survival building game blending farming, tower defense, and micromanagement, requiring you to fend off zombie hordes, grow crops, and strategically deploy traps to defend your homestead. Aki, what is The Last Camp?
Okay, so in this you play some schmuck that you get to minorly create, and it's a zombie apocalypse, so there's only one last haven for people, and they call it The Last Camp. And you're one of the Mr. or Mrs. Fix-Its for the camp. You go out and do everything because everyone else is fucking useless.
Yay.
So, yeah, it's great. You're given a weapon and you're sent out to go kill the things that need killing and to do the things that need done. Part of that is collecting different items out in the world, in every mission that you're in. Stuff like wood, iron, quartz, all that fun crap that you pick up from chests, basically. And you get to bring that back and do whatever else the mission does. Sometimes they're like, hey, go clear this of zombies and we'll send in some scavengers to go pick it clean at everything or what have you. Every mission's kind of different. And once you finish, you come back, you use everything that you picked up during the mission to either create or upgrade items. There's two different types of missions. There's the main story missions, and then there's exploration missions. Main stories give you a lot of stuff, a lot of XP, all that fun stuff, so you get to level up a bit faster. However, you don't get one specific item from those, and that's base resources. To get base resources, you have to go do the exploration missions. The harder difficulty you choose to play those on, the more items you get. Good luck with any of them above the most basic, because I've failed at those even. And it basically gives you three little missions that you have to do, which are three little mini levels, basically. Each one is designed to do something different. Some of them are, turn on these generators and survive this wave of zombies that shows up, and then turn on the next generator, until all three of them have been turned on. Or, protect these, survivors of this camp that's fallen apart. Protect them, which basically means, hey, don't allow zombies to break down this gate. Almost all of them really come down to don't let the zombies break down the gate. Another one might be, survive, and you just have to not die. You become the gate in this situation, I guess. And you just kill things, and when you've finished all three of them, or any amount of them that you do, because whenever you die in it, you get to choose to just wait for like 10 seconds and it'll retry that one. Or you can say, fuck it, cut your losses, and you get significantly less resources when you get back. But those resources that you get specifically from the explorations can be used to upgrade the base. When you upgrade the base, you get some resources. You usually get a blueprint, typically of a weapon or an item, that you can then build. And you get some experience, occasionally some money as well. All of your weapons you have to build. There is an individual in the last camp that you can go to, and you give them resources, they build the weapon. It's the weapon doesn't break over time, so it's like you build it once, you're good. You then can also use resources to upgrade those weapons up to a masterpiece level, which I think is like 4 levels of the weapon, I believe. To get some resources, you have to go and trade in your resources to change them into a different resource at yet another individual in the camp. So, for instance, you might pick up some iron and some quartz. You use 2 iron and a quartz, you hand it to this person, they give you an electrical component. There you go. That's basically how it all works out. As you upgrade your weapons, they require more crap for them, and much more intensive crap for them, where you have to trade in a whole shit ton of resources to get them. So it'll take a while. There's also different outfits that you can craft. However, there seems to be a major issue with that system right now. If you craft everything, you do not get access to everything, because the game will only load so many pieces of outfit, and then it stops loading them, which really sucks, because all my favorite pieces of outfit aren't on my list anymore, because I've crafted all of it, because I could. So that sucks, but yeah, other than that, you know, I don't know why it said tower defense. There's not really a tower defense part to it that I've experienced. Yep.
I feel like I watched someone stream this. Is this a twin stick shooter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. I'm not good at those, by the way. So I've done very mediocrely. After the first couple of main missions, I started really focusing on, I want to build up the camp and just finish this stuff, and then I'll go do the mission stuff again, the main mission stuff. And I'm almost done building up the camp, I think. So it's great fun when it comes to that. There isn't a lot of interactions that you can do with other characters, sadly. There's a couple characters that you can talk with, but they say the same shit every time you talk with them. Other than that, it's just going in and interacting with one of the few shops that are around. There's 4 shops in total. There's an item shop where you can buy things like grenades and crap like that. There's the gun shop where you can create and upgrade your guns. There's the component shop, which you trade your components in for stronger, better components. And then there's the clothing shop, where you trade some of your components in for outfits. And yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about this. It's hard as shit. Because everything that the zombies can damage, you can damage. So, as I stated, yeah, it sucks. Because you notice how I said all the exploration stuff? You have to prevent them from breaking down gates and things. Yeah, when they're up there hitting them, there's only one way you can get them off there, shooting them. And what happens when you shoot them? Oh, yeah, you shoot the fucking gate. Want to know what shooting the gate does? It damages it. Dun, dun, dun. It sucks ass. So if you upgrade your weapons too far, you can't play on easier modes because everything gets fucked up. So that's great fun. And yeah, other than that, it's a pretty decent twin stick shooter. It's nothing amazing, but it's not bad either. It's a good middle of the road style game that I think lots of people into this stuff will probably enjoy. It's nothing amazing, but it's good.
Cool. Well, it's $25.99. What do you think?
I've spent more on significantly worse, so I'm for it. If you like twin stick shooters, this is pretty good. Between, you know, just mowing down hordes of zombies or the occasional boss that you get to fight, it's pretty good. Go for it.
Cool. Bree and Jacob, do you like the artwork I did?
It's great.
Ethan, so where are you on this?
I'm not in it.
Jesus Christ. I I just saw this. Why? Why?
I mean, the hair looks good on you.
It does.
Yes. The bangs I'm not really a fan of.
You could lower them to cover your eyes.
Could you just cover my entire face?
Nope.
That- no.
No? Okay.
Next game to talk about, Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World, developed by Monkey Craft, published by Bliss Brain, released July 3rd on Series X and S and Xbox PC for $19.99. Asha, the warrior protagonist of the game, is involved in a serious incident that will affect the survival of her world. Our green-haired heroine doesn't have to save the world all alone and sets off on an adventure with her cute flying friend, the Blue Pepe Logu? Pepe Logu? Oh my god, what a name. Asha and the Pepe Logu have to work together to become the heroes the world needs them to be. The road ahead is long. Will they be able to save their world? Jacob, what's going on in Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World?
Which is kind of weird that like they call it Wonder Boy, seeing as it's a female protagonist, but whatever. It's part of the Wonder Boy. It's the sixth game in the Wonder Boy series and the fourth game in the Monster World series, or sorry, sub-series, which is part of the Wonder Boy thing, in case you're all wondering, which is not also what we're wondering with Wonder Boy. Anyway,
I'm wondering something.
What are you wondering?
Why does he do that little butt wiggle every time he opens a chest?
She,
excuse me.
Yeah. Why does she do the butt wiggle? I was wondering the same damn thing.
She and it's a butt wiggle. That's why.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like,
I just figured Wonder Boy, it was a he, but I guess I got that wrong.
Yeah, it's a girl, and she's definitely a teenager. And I'm sitting there like, why the hell is she doing a butt? I mean, like, I know why the Japanese are having her do a butt wiggle every single time that she opens up a treasure chest, but also, come on, guys, she's a teenager. Why does she have to be doing a butt wiggle every single time that she opens up a chest? But I digress. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's kind of like an action RPG platformer, and you play as this girl who has to go through this trial to determine whether or not, like, she's going to be the one to save the world. And this is where, like, the game will teach you all of the basic stuff of how you can attack. And then as you go through this pyramid thing, there are monsters in different rooms. Sometimes you can avoid the room and or the monster in the room. Other times you will have to be fighting them, and you do have your standard sword attack, but you can also attack from different positions, like, you know, as like you're jumping up or down, stuff like that. And as you're doing this, you're going to solve like some puzzles as to like how you're going to be able to get to the next area. It's kind of light and breezy. I just wish that this game would save more often. And the first time I tried running through it, I beat the original or the initial pyramid thing, and then I died in like the next area, and the game did not do any kind of saving at all, and so I had to then redo the whole entire pyramid all over again, and that kind of sucked. But as you go through, you will get access to this Pepe Logu.
I don't fucking know, man. You played it.
Whatever. Anyway, so your pet can be used kind of like as a platform, or to like blow out fires that are preventing you from being able to get to the next area. Like, it's pretty much like a, as the situation calls for it. One thing I thought was interesting with it is that, there are items that if you don't get, in an area, they're you're just never going to get them ever in the game again. You can't return to areas that you've already beaten, and you just can't replay through like certain areas. So if you play this, make sure you've gone everywhere. And I mean everywhere before moving on to the next spot. But yeah, like honestly, even though I have the Monster World collection that they had released on Xbox 360, this is actually the first time I like played any of them. I thought that this was like kind of interesting. I really liked like how it would mix up the 2D perspective with it, like with items being able to access items in the background, but also when you're jumping on platforms, like there's a definite how do I want to put it? It's like essentially like with how close your character is like on the screen, like it'll actually make like the sprites like slightly bigger so it looks like they're coming towards you, or make it back like to make it look, or make them smaller so it looks like like, you know, they're jumping a little bit further back onto the platform, even though all the platforms are in the same area, same height, all that kind of stuff. It's like these little visual touches that I thought were really neat with it. It's not a precision platformer, but I swear to God, it is. She does not stop on a dime. And so, like, it is real easy to miss your platforms in this thing, which kind of adds to the challenge of it, but I don't, not in an intentional way that I like. No. But like I'm having a lot of like I was having a lot of fun with it, so like I'd recommend checking it out if you've never gotten into the series before.
Ooh, well, it is $20. What do you think?
Oh yeah, $20 is totally worth it.
Oh cool, sounds good. Moving on. Bad End Theater, developed by Num Num Nami, published by Serenity Forge, released July 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. Welcome to Bad End Theater. Select your protagonist and explore a variety of terrible fates. The decisions you make in one story will affect the others. You can toggle these behaviors to open up new paths. Unfortunately, every path leads to a bad ending. Can you find a way to save this unlucky cast? Bree, Aki, both of you covered this. Who wants to start?
Me.
Go for it.
All right. So this game has been on my Steam wishlist for a while, and it's finally on consoles, so I had to get it. It is mature for strong language and violence. I didn't think it deserved a mature rating, maybe a teen rating. But either way, this is developed by Num Num Nami, who also did the visual novel Syrup and the Ultimate Suite. So I think I was expecting like a typical visual novel with just more bad endings.
Yeah. And Return to Ash from last episode, the hockey covered.
Oh, nice. That's out on Steam now. Yes.
Yep.
This is a visual novel with all bad endings.
Yay.
So you start off. Yeah. You start off with the option to play as either a demon or a human. And then you have different archetypes for your characters. So you have the hero and the maiden and the underling or the overlord. And each run you make unlocks different behavior traits based on your choices under the archetypes. So you can set the behavior traits you unlocked to change the flow of events in your runs. So if you set the maiden to polite and the underling to disloyal and the overlord to possessive, when you run through the hero's story and make the choice to flee like a coward instead of killing all the monsters, you'll get a different ending and choices for the hero than if the characters are, say, obedient, hungry, and a tyrant. It's a really cool system. Hard to explain, super easy to learn, in my opinion. The characters are all quirky. They have some different ideas behind them than just the standard stereotypes. Like the maiden, for instance, wants to meet a demon, despite her pious upbringing. And the whole rhetoric around demons coming to steal her. She's a little disappointed when she meets the demons, and they're kind of nice to her. Depending on your other choices, the hero comes to rescue the maiden from the overlord, and the overlord slays the hero, and the maiden just exits stage right. There's 48 achievements representing different endings or events that you can witness through your choices. The whole thing plays like a medieval fantasy choose-your-own-adventure. And there are 41 bad endings to find, and then each of the main characters has a true ending, and so does the game. The runs are pretty short, And there are some fun secret endings where things get really interesting with a new character. And then the endings get a bit longer. It's like multiple stories entwined. And the hero interacts with the maiden with the underling, and so on. And there's multiple versions of all the stories, with the god of tragedy overseeing the stage of the Bad End Theater. The art is super cute, like 8-bit graphics. The music is some repetitive chiptunes, but it's all darling. And I had a blast with this one. I would say if you're not even really into visual novels, you might still get a kick out of this one. Aki, how about you?
I fairly enjoyed this. This is so different from any other game I've ever played that I'm really confused on whether I like it or not, personally, just because it's so different from everything else. I don't have a frame of reference for this because it's so
chaotic.
Odd. Yeah.
See, based on last episode and you checking out Return to Ash, I was like dead set for you to be like, I fucking hate this game because it's so sad. Everything's a bad ending. I hate it. Blah, blah, blah.
These bad endings aren't going to make you particularly sad, thankfully.
Okay. No, it's almost comedic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very comedic. Whereas
Return to Ash, no.
That's just depressing. That's just a depressing game. There's a difference.
Okay, so it's significantly different in tone.
Yeah, yeah. I'm leaning more towards I like it than not liking it, but it's so odd because every run you do, the characters change how they interact because they do things based on how you chose to do stuff with them the prior time. So let's say you play the hero and you decide to slaughter everybody. Well, in the next person, you choose theirs. The hero is going to be just slaughtering everyone. That's how you've set them up. So when you play the maiden, you're going to come across him covered in blood and shit. So on and so forth. Thankfully, as you continue to play this, you unlock their different traits, as Bree said, and you can mix and match them as you want. But it's very hard to figure out what changes what and how the story changes based on these things. So it gets kind of confusing to try and open these up. Like, I'm trying to get all the traits unlocked right now. There's 16 of them. I have like 12, and I because I have 3 for everybody, and I still haven't been able to figure out how to get the other 4, one for each of them, open. I've been at it for like an hour and a half now, and I've still not even come close to figuring out how to do it. So it's very awkward for me.
All right, well, it is a $10 game. What do you think of Bad End Theater?
I am all by it on this one. I just had a blast with it. It is something different in the visual novel space. It was entertaining. It was different, fantasy views on the typical stereotype as well. It was just a very fun experience. It was unique.
Damn it. Aki, how does that make you feel?
Angry. Very angry. But for the game, I'm totally for it. I think it's easily worth that much money. Even though I'm very conflicted on how I feel about it, I think it's totally worth playing at the very least.
Very cool. Next up, Greedland, developed by Vamp HE, published by eHome Entertainment, released July 10th on Series X and S for $12.99. Face endless tidal waves of alien mutants head-on. Apply directly to the forehead. In this game, you'll face an unimaginable number of alien mutants that appear rapidly from all around your field of vision. You'll destroy more than 20,000 enemies per game, and the endless mode for hardcore gamers who want to challenge themselves. Jacob, out of 20,000 enemies, I'm guessing you took care of like 8.
Jacob. Jacob.
I was muted because I... Yeah.
Jacob.
I'm already talking.
Jacob.
Hate you.
What's Greedland?
Anyway.
So Greedland. What's Greedland?
And meanwhile, Burger Thing is like, wake up, Jacob. Hate everyone. Except Bree. You're okay.
Thanks.
What is Greenland?
It is an island that is off of Iceland, and I'll
stab you.
So Greenland is a sci-fi survivors type game where the storyline is that they are playing like this like sci-fi megacorp thing is going to be instituting a bunch of like settlements and outposts on this land, essentially. Like, it's a planet out there for whatever reasons, and you are sent out there as this mercenary to go in and clean up pretty much all, like, you're just there to shoot as many of like the wildlife as you can, because obviously anything that sets down, they are just like, well, I want to kill you. And so everything is going to be constantly attacking you. You don't really get a moment to breathe. However, as you go through these levels and like you die and eventually start permanently upgrading your stats, obviously the levels will become easier as you upgrade your different weapons, the different suit loadouts you can do. Obviously, like the permanent upgrades and boosts that you can get. But yeah, and eventually you just figure out like what, you know, what works best for you. And as you keep gaining XP and you complete these various missions that your commander wants you to get done on all these levels, you unlock further sub levels for yourself. I don't know how the heck to word it, but essentially each one of these kind of levels, you'll unlock like different types of air support, different types of new boosts and stuff. Like, more tech becomes available to you as the company decides that you're worth more to them. Of course, you still have to pay for all the tech, but you know, it's now available at the very least. And yeah, it's just, you constantly keep doing it. Bosses will show up. Bosses will try to fuck you up. You have to dash. You have to use your different powers. Like, you have to like be constantly updating your weapons. And the weapons are the weapons are what you're firing. You have equipment, which also acts like weapons. Not to get those two kind of things confused, but like, you can have like orbital bombardments on your area, you can have cluster bombs, you can have these like little robot ball things that fly around and shoot lasers at everyone. You can have like this backpack that you wear that will make it so like it shoots behind you, which is super like when you're circled on all sides by all these different monsters, like, that, holy shit, that thing is so necessary to have. But yeah, like, you're gonna die a lot during this game, but you know, you upgrade your shit, go back for more, and keep beating up all these aliens, and it's a really fucking fun game. It is super addictive. I've actually kind of ditched Soul Survivors, which I was playing a week or two ago on here, and now it's just like, yep, playing Greenland. Like,
nice.
I wish that the missions had more variety to them. I don't know like what I like really want though, because it's like, it's really just like a lot of like, all right, here's a mission where you have to reclaim all this equipment from a failed expedition. Do you want it on grasslands, desert, or in dark jungle area? Like you're going to be playing like the same mission idea three different ways. It's really just like what kind of setting and like what time of day do you want it to be? So, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. I really recommend picking it up.
Very good. $13. Verdict.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Works for me. Next up, Islanders New Shores, developed by The Station, published by Coat Sync and Thunderful, released July 10th on Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $9.99. The next chapter in the beloved minimalist city-building franchise is here. Islanders New Shores invites you back to a world of tranquil creativity, now reimagined with expanded gameplay, stunning visuals, and a host of fresh features that build on the charm of the original. Bree, what is Islanders New Shores?
So, I'll get to that in just a second. I've never played the first Islanders. I own it. It's in my backlog. I'm definitely going to have to go back and play it now that I've played this. That said, I can attest that you can pick this up and play the second game without knowledge of the first and have a great time with it. This is a super chill sandbox city builder, and I don't mean that like simulation management game. You have islands, hence the name, that you can build on with different sets, like Seaweed Farm and its related parts. You want to create a high score for putting buildings near other things that relate to it or have modifiers. You can do this by moving the item around the map to see how many points they're worth, and you'll need a certain amount of points to get to the next level. Your journey on that island ends when you run out of things to build or places to put them, or you don't meet the score goal. As an example, my seaweed farm is a building that needs to be on land, but it can collect seaweed from the water, so you need to position the building so that it's on land with the harvester over the water, and you get access to seaweed, and that'll give you 10 points. When just putting the building on land somewhere will give you 4 points instead. And then you have patches of seaweed that you can only put in water. You could put them anywhere in the water for a few points, or put them next to your seaweed farm harvester and you get 8 points apiece. So the goal is to build as large and functional an island as you can and meet the points goal for the next level. Ultimately, this is a kind of strategy game. You have to move things around to get your maximum point value based on the terrain. There is an undo button for one item. So if you put your brewery down and realize there was a better place to put it, and you hadn't noticed until just now, you can undo that move. But it only has one layer of undo. So if you put down the next item in the pack, like the hops field, you can only undo the hops field placement. There are 2 modes to the game, high score and sandbox. So high score is really most of the game is about and the achievements come from, and that's just trying to meet those score goals and keep leveling and making a bigger and bigger island city with more functions like brewing and brick making and all the different things you need to have a big population with all the bells and whistles. There are around 50 different building types, which you can explore more in sandbox mode. In sandbox mode, you're free to create the island of your dream however you see fit. You have the options to design your own island for sandbox, to generate your own island for sandbox. I can read my own words. You can take the randomly generated one it gives you. You can adjust the size, type, height. You can change the biome, like the trees, the flowers, the grass, and the climate. Controls are pretty standard for the game. You have a left stick to move around, right stick to rotate the camera, a zoom on your triggers, and bumpers to rotate objects. So controls you're familiar with. There's a photo mode, take screenshots of your cool creations. There's also a world leaderboard if you care to know how you compare to other players of the game. The game auto-saves when you go idle for a few seconds. The game turns your current project into a screensaver and does a slow rotation of your creation, which is super cool. The visuals are beautiful and softer than the original game, which was a bit more angular. The music is relaxing and dreamy. If you're looking to compare chill games similar to this, I would mention Cloud Gardens, also published by CoatSync, Match Village, and one I recently reviewed called Preserve. It's a really awesome. Chill game.
So this sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
Awesome. $10. What do you think of it?
I think the price is great on this, and I would call it a buy it.
Works for me. Jacob, what do you think of the new picture?
Let me look, because I don't have this up. And
that's entirely too kind. Go back to the old picture.
You know what?
Jacob needs that to actually, see it first.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate that. It very much has a doom. Okay, no, I don't appreciate that.
Okay, never mind. Now it's much better.
Yeah, it fits with the aesthetic. That actually reminds me something about Greedland that I forgot to talk about. It's kind of bizarre, but like the opening like loading screen for it is just the photo. It's just a photo of the like either robot, mercenary, like whatever the fuck you're supposed to be. I don't know, but it's a shot from behind, and it's like, it's definitely like focusing like on their ass. And it's not like the character model ever rotates or anything like that, but you are just like, the game is Greedland and you're focused on a robotic dump truck ass. Like, I don't know what kind of message they were going for with that opening screen, but it's confusing. It's a shoot 'em up, but you know, we're going to focus on that robot ass.
I mean, that ass, right?
That ass.
Yep.
So, do we use the cat's away image or the Greedland image?
God. I don't know. Maybe the cats, but you replace the other cats with pictures of your cats?
Too much work.
I knew that was going to be the case.
One last game to talk about tonight is called Fit and Fry Organized Chef, developed and published by Aphil Games, released July 16th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Xbox PC for $4.99, each platform. Fit and Fry Organized Chef is the second game of the franchise, bringing back the delicious chaos you love, now with new ingredients, even trickier pans, and kitchen tools overflowing from the cupboard. Your mission, fit each ingredient snugly into the frying pan. Sounds easy, just wait until you see the shape of these carrots. Move, rotate, and snap pieces perfectly to complete wacky dishes. Jacob, Aki, both of you cover this. Someone start, I don't care.
I think that the dishes are that, like, that, yeah, the dishes are Aki. That the dishes are that wacky. And they look like normal dishes. I don't know, that's a weird description.
Anyways, so if y'all ever played that game where you organized the inside of Leon's briefcase
to
fit all the weapons and stuff, then you know exactly what this game is. All you're doing is taking a whole bunch of vegetables and stuff that have different shapes, and you're Tetrising it around inside this area that is only big enough just to hold it all. You just have to figure out how to get it to fit. That's really all it is. It has a whole bunch of levels. You don't have to do them all. And some of the levels are kind of hard, but not many of them. They're mostly pretty okay. So, yeah.
That's cool. Really all there Jacob, is to what do you think of it?
So, I mean, this one isn't that much different than the other Fit and Fry thing and the other game. It's a puzzle game. You're just moving the tiles around a bunch and rotating them. Unlike the Legends... Oh, crap. What the heck was it called?
Legends Aligned.
Thank you. Legends Aligned, which is another title by Aphil Games. Unlike that one where... like the sequel brought in something new where you were, where some of like there's factions between the different miniatures. And so like you couldn't put a human next to a Minotaur or something like that. There's nothing in this to really separate them. And so it's just more of these kind of puzzles.
Wait. There's bacon in it now.
What? Okay. I got really excited.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there is, but it, like, it's not like you can't put the bacon next to, like, an onion or something like that. And so it's really, it just ends up being more of the same, which, you know, if you like the first one, then, you know, I guess that's fine. But if you were looking for something more from an Aphil Games title, first off, I'm not sure why. But second, you're not going to find it in this sequel. So I enjoyed it. Like, it's not great, but it's fine. It's fun. It's like,
just more of the same.
Yeah, it's amusing for like the 30 minutes to an hour that you're going to play for, that you're going to play it for.
All right. Anyone else have thoughts on it?
I mean, I'd say buy it.
I'm totally good with a buy it as well.
Cool.
Me too.
Cool. Hey, we're done. Music.
Yay.
I don't know what I'm playing this episode. Still fucking around with this image. I'm trying to do something else with it. It's gonna be dumb.
Well, yeah, I'm on it.
So, one other little bit of news I forgot. A new pinball table was announced for Pinball FX.
What is it?
Pinbot. Yeah, Grant was really excited. He's like, this is my all-time favorite.
Oh, good.
So, all right. I don't know what I'm playing for music. Does anyone have any final words?
It's almost my birthday!
Happy birthday! Ooh.
It's like an hour until her birthday! Wait, what time of day were you born?
9:14 in the morning, and my mother wakes me every year to let me know that I woke her up that early in the morning.
That's awesome.
We're going to be doing that to my oldest when he's older, because he was born at like 5 something in the morning.
Yep. She's been doing that for a lot of years.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
About how four ordinary household pets became wisecracking amphibians. Pizza-loving amphibians. 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 Amphibians.